Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this last morning worship of 2019. By next Sunday, we'll be into 2020. Can you believe it? This morning, I'd like to give a special welcome to those who are visiting, and a very warm welcome to Jean Forbes, who is back with us this morning to lead worship. There is a cup of tea or coffee after the service in the small hall, so if you're able to stay behind, please do. Alistair, before he went away south, got an email from the Church of Scotland asking us to highlight an appeal for blood because Inverness Rigmore Hospital is very short of blood over this festive season. It's not much notice. There's a session tomorrow, Monday, from 2:30 to 5 p.m., and then from 6 p.m. to 7:30. Or on Thursday, the 2nd of January, from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. I have a phone number here. I could put this notice on the welcome table at the back so that you can look if you're interested in going to give blood at these times. You could get the phone number at the welcome table when you leave the service. Tonight at Urquhart, at St. Margaret's Hall, there's an evening service at 7 p.m., and it's of lessons and carols. And our interim moderator, Anne Bowie, is leading this service. So please support that if you can. There will be readers from our church and from Belly Church taking part. Now, we have a young man this morning who is going to be two tomorrow. So I think we should sing happy birthday to JJ. Are you going to be two tomorrow, JJ? Okay, Evelyn, thank you. Happy birthday to you.
Well, good morning, and I pray you all had a good Christmas. It's wonderful to be back, and you're always so welcoming. And your singing, as I say today, your choir's less, but your singing's beautiful. And I'm grateful for Sheila choosing the hymns for us today, because I wasn't sure how many Christmas carols you'd sung or what ones you had sung. But we were saying you can never have enough carols. Luke 2:21 reads, "This child is destined to be a sign that is opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed." We begin our time of worship with CH 4:303, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning with grateful hearts for this time of seasonal joy, a time when we have enjoyed spending time with family and friends, the giving and receiving of gifts, but most of all for the opportunity once again to celebrate the birth of a tiny baby in that lowly stable in Bethlehem, a baby who would be Christ the Lord. We give thanks for the good news of Christ, a message that has thrilled generations throughout the years, uplifting, encouraging, challenging, and renewing. We thank you how the message has spoken to each of our hearts, showing itself to be glad tidings in so many ways. Yet we confess that there are times when we lose our sense of awe and wonder, and find that we fail to respond to your love as we initially did, when we first began our journey of discipleship. Forgive us the times we have become casual and complacent in our faith, and fail to spend time in your word, times of quiet contemplation, when we can nurture our relationship with you. So speak into our hearts, Lord. Renew us by the touch of your Holy Spirit, so that we may again sense the urgency felt by the shepherds as they rush to that little town of Bethlehem, that the wonder of your love may burn within us each day, bringing glory to your name. Be born in us today and every day, for where meek souls will receive him still, our dear Lord enters in. So we come humbly, asking that you would hear our prayer, as we pray as one in the words you taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We'll now have our Bible reading.
This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen.
Again, CH4, 313, see in yonder manger low.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. My youngest daughter lives in Spain, so it was great joy that I anticipated their coming to spend some time with us. Sadly, her husband Ross's dad has health problems, so they wanted to spend Christmas Day with him and the rest of the family. John and I love having the boys with us. We played games, but I think most of all they enjoyed playing with our Alexa. I suppose many of you have one. You ask her a question and she answers them connected to the Wi-Fi. With Ross and the boys, it was mostly sports questions, but I found myself getting quite hooked and asked her questions from the Bible. But she was not always right. She asked me, who married a king and saved her people, to which I answered, Esther. And she said that was wrong. Now, having had done a 5,000-word essay on the book of Esther, I was quite indignant that she was wrong. And in saying to her, Alexa, you are wrong, she answered, I don't know that one. So when asking her questions on Simeon, whom we were going to consider today, she only gave me Old Testament references. But as we heard, he was very much a part of the Christmas story, so even Google's not always right. As we continue in the book of Luke, the excitement is over. The shepherds and the angels have left, and Mary and Joseph are left alone looking after their baby son. Similarly, we can feel after the big day. We can find this in church worship, as sometimes it drops, and the energy levels during Advent seem to dissipate as well. It says, as we collectively maybe use this as a time of rest, a time to catch our breath and say, well, Christmas is over, and we just accept it until perhaps Easter comes along and the excitement rises again. But that can't be for our young couple in today's story, or for any young couple, and it should not be for us. For all parents at the birth of a baby find the mother in an exhausted state of happiness and the father beaming with joy and pride. But the respite after the birth lasts only for a moment. Now that the baby is here, and most of us, I'm sure, can remember, he, she needs food and warm clothing. She needs love, cuddle, bosies, as we say in Bucky, and nappies need to be changed for the first time of many. Newborn babies quickly remind us, with their numerous needs, that our lives as parents have only begun. Fortunately, we have this morning's text from Luke to give us the same lesson with respect to our lives in the church and as individuals. We may sometimes wonder, is there life in the church? Is there life after Christmas? But our text shows that for Joseph and Mary, life did go on. And as we as individuals and a church family have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we too must continue to grow. Besides their familiar parental duties, Mary and Joseph also had to attend to their religious duties in the days following Christmas. They had Jesus circumcised 8 days after his birth, as the law had commanded. And again, according to the law, Mary underwent a rite of purification, since mothers were considered ritually unclean after the birth of a child. Then at the proper time, Joseph and Mary presented Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem, where he was dedicated to God, again in accordance to Scripture. They also offered temple sacrifice of two turtle doves or two pigeons, which the law allowed them to substitute when parents were too poor to afford the sacrificial lamb. Four times in this short text, Luke says that Joseph and Mary performed their religious duties as Jewish law required after the birth of Jesus. As it does for us today, life went on after Christmas for Joseph and Mary, including worship and the practice of their faith. They did this at all times, and not just on the most holy of days, but of every day of the year, as they were commanded to do, and as we are commanded to do also. But even as Joseph and Mary are fulfilling the law at the temple, they meet an old man named Simeon. Now, aside from what we are told of him in Luke 2, we know nothing about him. We assume he was a priest, although the text doesn't say so. We also assume he was an old man. He simply seems to appear on the stage of history as a bit player in the drama surrounding the birth of Jesus. After his part is over, he's never heard of again. These verses tell us several facts about Simeon. He was a righteous man, a devout man, a spirit man, filled man, a man of prayer, a man of fasting, and most importantly, every day went to the temple eagerly awaiting the imminent appearance of the Messiah to fulfill the promise that he had been given, that he would not die till he saw the salvation of the world, which he had prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to give glory to the people of Israel. Simon, on seeing the baby, holds the baby in his arms and speaks words of comfort, but also words which would disturb. He promises that this newborn baby, who looks so helpless and unassuming, right, is now the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people across the nations, that he is the savior of the whole world and will someday grow up to be a unique man with a singular destiny for all people. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, foreshadowing the controversy which would follow Jesus throughout his ministry. Many will fall and rise in the new covenant, which Jesus will establish with his blood, body and blood. Words that Jesus later preached on the Sermon on the Mount. By the word of this child, those who are proud and convinced of their worthiness in God's sight shall fall, while those who are poor in spirit and who know their need for God's mercy shall rise and receive the kingdom of heaven. Because of this child, those who are happy, who seem to have things going their way in the world, shall fall, while those who mourn shall rise and be comforted. Those who are privileged and arrogant in power scatter lesser mortals before them and making self-serving rules for themselves and for others to live by shall fall, while those who are meek shall rise and inherit the earth. And those who are complacent about all that is wrong in the world, who tolerate injustice and unrighteousness in the name of law, shall fall, while those who hunger and thirst for what is right shall rise and be filled. Those who bask in glory and honor of popular acclaim, who lead respectable, comfortable lives, shall fall, and those who are rejected and persecuted for righteousness' sake shall rise and enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, this child shall grow from his roots with the Spirit of the Lord upon him and with all his counsel and might. He will not judge as the world judges, by what the eyes see and the ears hear. He will not judge the worthiness or usefulness of others by their wealth, by their power or standing in public opinion. He will not judge as a priest or prophet or politicians who are apt to judge, but with righteousness. He shall judge and decide with equality the meek of the earth, for he will judge by God's standards, not the world's. And therefore, many who expect to rise shall fall, and many who expect to fall shall rise. Simeon said, this child will be a sign that will be opposed. God's son, born in a humble manger, will become so threatening to the opposed in the world by the cruelest of means. Even today, as we remember the beauty of Bethlehem, we are not to forget that the path of Jesus' life leads to Calvary. John says he was in the world, yet the world knew him not. He came to what was his own, and his own people received him not. He was rejected, and then we, who are his own people, reject him even now, as we resist and restrict his claims upon our lives. As we try to keep our faith within manageable and reasonable limits, as we remain beholden to the world, using all of our time, our talents, and especially our money, not on him, but on ourselves. Today, we look at newborn babies and wonder what the future holds for them. But Simeon knew as he looked at Christ, and that's why he said that he was a sign to be opposed, that this child who is God's light and glory shall nonetheless be despised and rejected, a man of sorrow. It will not be an easy life for Jesus or for his mother. For Simeon says quietly to Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon, this child, says this child will become a man who causes the inner thoughts of many to be revealed. He will become a dividing line by which lives are tested and hearts are measured. By his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus will present to each of us the only essential choice that we must make in life. We go against the grain of worldly convention to follow our Lord, or we will stay safe on the side of conformity. We reveal the thoughts of our hearts when we come down on one side or the other, for we can only choose to live for or against him. There's no middle way. We can only choose to be his disciple or his detractor. If we choose the former, we choose a set of principles and a way of life which Simeon knew and chose, but was bitterly opposed by the world. No, there is no mystery to that, or for anyone else whose choices they make. For it's our values, our priorities, our lifestyle that will reveal to God the contents of our heart and the character of our souls. What will we do with our lives? Who will we try to serve? In a story called The Necklace, we meet a woman who was married to an ordinary citizen, but who wanted to be more than anything to hobnob with French high society. One day her husband received an invitation to a high society ball. Excited to finally find her dreams realized, she borrowed a friend's expensive necklace to wear for the occasion. This beautiful necklace drew the admiring comments she wanted from many of the guests at the ball. But before the night was over, she had lost the necklace. Panic-stricken, she and her husband borrowed 36,000 francs, bought an exact duplicate of the necklace, and returned it to her friend without telling her what had happened. For 10 painful years, the couple slaved away in toil and hardship. They sold their house, dismissed their servants, and worked daily two jobs in order to repay the enormous debt. When they finally did pay off the debt, the woman told her friend about the replacement necklace and how they had suffered in the last 10 years. And that is when the friend told her the necklace she had borrowed that night was an imitation, made only of paste. It was barely worth 500 francs, not the 36,000 that they had saved so long to repay. I tell you that story because there's a part of that woman in all of us. We spend years slaving away for the things which are only made of paste without and fail to see the pearl of great value. The pearl which is staring us in the face, the pearl of faith, of hope, of love, forgiveness, of joy and peace, Christ's salvation and eternal life. Simeon comes along to remind us that there is indeed life after Christmas. The baby Jesus does grow up. He does fulfill his destiny for the falling and rising of many. He does become a sign which is opposed on earth, but pointing the glory to heaven. Now that he is born, Jesus reduces all our choices in life to one: to live with him or without him. To live as Christians in an alien land, as we read in Psalm 103:7, or to live as people who are conformed to the world, as we read in Romans 12:2. On this Sunday after Christmas and the final Sunday of the year, it's a good time to think about this choice, to reflect on what it says about our inward life and our outward life, what it reveals about our most innermost thoughts in our heart as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us find our way during these days and weeks after Christmas. Do not let us linger too long in Bethlehem with its holy mystery and humble majesty. But as with Mary and Joseph so long ago, remind us that life goes on and send us on our way. Jesus leads us forward to face this man, this baby who became a man. Help us, Lord, to measure our lives by him and give us the courage to choose his way of life, not our own, as we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We sing again, CH 4309, Still the Night, Holy the Night.
Thank you.
Your offering will now be received. Let us pray. Lord, as we present our offerings of money before you, we pray that they would be used for establishing your kingdom of peace and joy. And as we present our gifts, we also present ourselves, that we might do your will to establish your kingdom. Enable us in all things to seek the good of the world, to practice forgiveness and reconciliation, to work for the increase of peace and justice, to show tolerance and open-mindedness to all who practice the generosity of spirit and the openness of hospitality, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Before we come to our prayers of intercession, can we take a quiet moment to just remember Margaret? It should have been Margaret that was taking the prayers today, but she came up and told me at the beginning of the service that our dad had been taken ill and she had to go. So as we pray, please remember her. We take a few minutes of quiet. Heavenly Father, as we remember Margaret and her dad and her family, pour out your love on them. She is a friend and a member here and a loyal, loyal witness to you. So we hold her before you now. For you are the God who knits us together in mutual love and caring, who pours out abundant gifts that enrich our lives and challenge us to give our best. So let the words of our mouth proclaim the dawn of creation, and our actions arise from our hearts and minds to spread abroad the good news of your reconciling love. Plant in each and every heart the love of him who is the Saviour of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that love burning, make this world of ours a world of hope and promise for all peoples and for all times. Lord, hear our prayers for those people and situations you have placed upon our hearts this day. Those in need of an understanding of your constant love, a love that knows no bounds, a love that reaches out to all in need, a God that weeps when we weep, suffers when we suffer. For you, we are all your family, with whom you long to share your love and your compassion. We bring before you all who need to hold fast to the knowledge of that love and your abiding presence at all times. The sick, the dying, the broken in body or mind. Those who mourn the loss of one, and those who fear for the future. For this season brings joy, but it can also bring sorrow. And we remember those for whom there was an empty chair at the table, and for those who struggle financially, whose load is heavy, weighed down with expectations and commitments, and for those whom the season seems to increase their feeling of loneliness. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the needs of others. And we pray that we would see beyond the pressures of the season to that peace that can be found in the abiding presence of our Lord Emmanuel. Today, Lord, we remember the 70 students dead and the 90 injured in the car bomb in Somalia, and the 5 stabbed in New York. And we remember the accidents in our own area and the family of the man who died. And again, Lord, we place Margaret and her family into your hands. And we ask this and pray about it in the name of Jesus, who was born under the light of a star, and who gives us the light we need to walk into each day as your holy and beloved people, that we might reflect the truth of the gospel, as we pray in his precious name. Amen. We close our service with CH 4, 301, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Lord, as we walk away from the season of Christmas and into your new year, help us to pray, to watch and wait as Simeon did, as Anna did. For our time is not your time. So, Lord, we wait on you. And in our struggles and in our searching, we know that you will answer at when you want to answer. Lord, we thank you for this day. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore.